Hi, loves. Welcome to the Mommy on the Move podcast. I am Tierra Haynes, mom coach, speaker, author, and content creator. Mommy on the Move is my unfiltered perspective filled with very honest and very real pitfalls, peaks, and the beautiful mom moments in between, because that's what motherhood is, finding the beauty in the chaos. I don't have all the answers, Sway, but I do have the truth, and I can't wait to share mine with you. After all, life doesn't come with a manual, it comes with a mom. That feels awkward.
Much better.
Do you have freckles?
I do. I have so many freckles.
I love freckles. Yes. I have a freckle arm. I want a freckle. I mean, my entire birthday. So I'm
getting more of them as I get older. Mm-hmm. And my mom's, hers start to
protrude a little.
Lift up. Yeah. Uh-huh. Me and my brother both have them. And I used to hate them when I was a little girl because nobody else had them. So they're like, all my friends would be like, well, not my friends, like the other kids would be like, what those black kids. Girls got freckles? Like, why? You're not even black. And my mom is very, very light skinned. Like, she doesn't look black
at all. So she could at all. Well, at least you, the black kids, I mean, my mother was telling me to scrub my arm. She's like, clean your arm. I'm like, this, it's, you birthed me this way and I'm confused on what you.
I can't get rid of it.
Like, I can't. My entire arm is just freckled and I'm dark, so the freckles are darker. And she's like, yeah. You're not scrubbing.
You know what's the funniest thing to me is, like, all the things that people used to make fun of are my favorite things about myself now. Like, I used to shrink and be so insecure about those things. And now I'm like, when I get my makeup done, I'm like, don't cover my freckles. I want to be able to see my freckles. I want to accentuate my lips. I used to hate having, like, bigger, like, big, juicy lips. I used to hate it. Like, I used to drive
me crazy. The reason I kept adjusting is light because I'm like, no, you're chocolate, girl.
Yes. Give me right? All the chocolate. I love it.
I used to hate being chocolate. Yes. But now I'm like, girl, you are a chocolate woman.
Yes. Listen, so, it's so funny. Like,
don't take away my chocolate.
I love it. Okay, well, let's get started. I have to start with, there's just some people in this world that you hope and pray to all of the gods that you pray to, that their energy that you're feeling is like, please let them be this person, right? Because I'm gonna be so devastated if this person is not as cold as I think they are in my mind, because this is my best friend in my head. And when I'm scrolling through Instagram and I land on this page with this beautiful, chocolate, confident, wise, and smart woman, I'm like, she doesn't know, but we're friends. Like, that's my dog. We cut from the same cloth. Like, this intro is getting really long, but this is just, I needed to paint a very clear picture of all of the things that I've been feeling. And so, you know, it's funny when you run the page, right? And I'm always like, why won't people just talk to me? Like, I'm so, you know, like, whatever, right? But I saw your page and I was like, oh my God, I love her. But do I tell her I love her? Because then she's going to think I'm weird. Like, what do I do? So I just kind of like, I felt like I just like courted you for a little while until I finally was like in your DMs, like, so, hey, beautiful. How you doing? And it got us here. And I could not be happier to be on the line with Tico. I mean, it feels like it's been like the longest courtship I don't think me and Drake.
I felt cared for.
I'm glad.
Likewise, I have to say it was a mutual attraction because your wit matches mine. And likewise, I know what it's like. You were like, I hope this person's like this in real. Because have you met people in real life that you thought was
so fly
or dope or something? And then you meet them and you're like, oh, you practiced that laugh, right? But I'm going to tell you which one it was. You did a post where everybody else was sitting down at a picnic.
Yes.
And you were the one, it looked like a picnic, and you were the one up just like, and I was like, those are my people. That's my cousin. Like, guys, that's my cousin over there. Because I have no problem being who I am amongst whomever. Yeah. And so when I saw that, I was like, for sure. I knew, I kind of felt like DNA test, but I was like, that's my cousin.
We don't need it no more. We know.
We're good.
You know, it's funny that you said that because you and I off camera were just having this conversation about the things that people used to make fun of are now our favorite things about ourselves, right? And I've always been that, oh, she's so loud, she's so this, she's so that, right? And it's either, you know, I have one of those personalities where you either love me or you're like, gosh, she's a lot. Like, you don't hate me, but she's just like, because she maybe not so much all the time. You know, like, it just doesn't always hit everybody the same. And I am just so blessed to be in a season where I love to just be unapologetically myself. But I think it's also, as you grow and you learn to be around people and to learn that energy from other people, and just to be around people that celebrate you being unapologetically
your individuality, who you are. Right? Yes. Like, they're not trying to fit you into a box.
Yeah.
Those are my friends. Like, they just know how I get down. My children know that if I have to fart, I'm going to do it. With this red lipstick on, I will be dressed fancy and fart. Okay. Like, fancy and fart is fine. Because it's a human bodily
better out than in. You gotta do it.
I mean, listen, if I keep it in, it's gonna hurt me. If I let it out, it might hurt you. What you think I'm doing? Self-care, self-love. I gotta put myself first. Okay. So no, I get that. I'm down for anyone who starts to roll. I mentioned, I turned 47. You might hear me say my age several times because I'm one of those that be like, girl, I'm 40.
I love it. But
I really think aging is this process of falling deeper for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point you should just be so grounded that you love yourself, the flaws included. You know what I mean? And so, or what people may call flaws, because like you said, your personality is not a flaw. Yeah. I mean, when people are like, oh, she's doing too much, I'm like, no, you're doing too little.
You're not doing enough. I got to do it for me and you, because you're not doing enough.
I got you. This is, you know, self-preservation. I'm going to hold us both down. And so, but I'm either too much for some, not enough for others. And so I'm just right for the people I'm supposed to be just right for. And I'm good with that.
I love it. I love that. I love that. Yeah. All right. So I gave this whole love fest, right? But first things first, I'm supposed to ask this before we get into all of this, but I want to know, how are you really?
I am well. I feel like time is flying.
Yes.
But I'm well. I can't complain about much when all you can complain about is that time feels like it's moving really fast. So my kids feel like they're growing really fast. I can't believe that it's already April. I almost said March, but I can't believe that we're already in April. So other than time feeling like it's just escaping, it's leaving. Mm-hmm. I feel fine. I'm well. Home is good. Life is good. And so, yeah.
Good, good. I love to hear that.
What about you? I gotta ask, what about you?
You know, you can always tell a vibe because you're the first person to ask me that back. I am well. I'm, you know, we have a crazy, crazy life from November to March. And we just had an opportunity to do like just our little family and spend really good quality time with no distractions, no basketball for a few days, no work, no nothing. And so that is always the quickest way to fill me up, right? Is being able to have that uninterrupted quality time with my family, even though those kids drove me bananas as they do, right? But you know, even you and I were just talking about it, like taking trips with them now is so different. It's not as belaboring, you know. Like my husband and I, we were out in a restaurant and we saw, and he's got baby fever bad, and I'm so glad that God told me to snip this man a couple years ago.
Right.
Because the way he would be trying to impregnate me today, on this very day.
On this very day.
On this very day. And I'm very much so, no ma'am. No ma'am, Pam.
Not at all.
Mm-mm, that's no longer in my ministry. It's not in my future. It's only in my past.
We're done.
Right. And I'm looking over and he's like, oh, and I'm like, babe, do you remember that comes with like a diaper bag and we have to stop and like go change Pampers and like feed and, you know, like nap times. And I was like, you know, look at how easy this trip just was. We spent the entire day out walking the streets of Chicago and like kicking it with the kids. You know, we're in a stage where we really get to enjoy our kids.
Yes.
And, you know, the parents that are in that baby stage may not understand where I'm coming from yet, but just hold on. Y'all will get it.
You're getting there. You're arriving. You're on your way. You're arriving.
You're so close. You can yes. taste it.
Yep.
But it's just different. You know, parenthood it comes in seasons, and this is a really it is an exhausting season. I thought it would be a little less belaboring by now, to be honest. But I have to often remember that our youngest is still 8, and so that is still kind of young.
You have a range. I feel like I'm in that bragging season of oh, my youngest is 14.
Yeah.
And he'll be entering high school come August. And my daughter is a junior, so we're entering senior year come August, right? And so, I mean, I think I told you before, in our, you know, let's just meet up, that I am very much an underpaid, non-paid, non-tipped Uber driver.
Barely thanked.
At all. Like, just pop out the car. What time are you going to pick me up?
Yep.
You know,
and bring food.
Oh, can you drop off lunch? Well, one, I was not leaving home, so I don't know what drop off, like, as if I'm, you know, Uber Eats. Can you drop off as if I was going to be out and it's on my way somewhere? Mm-hmm. But I'm very much in the non-paid labor phase. I'm only as good as the gas that's in my car and the money in my account to transfer to somebody.
All you're worth. That's all you're worth.
Right. You talk about like no value. It's just, that's it.
I love it. No, I am enjoying, there's something about every season of parenthood that you can enjoy and that you can hold on to, right?
Yes.
I'm very thankful. I'm not one of those moms looking at people with babies like, oh, I don't miss.
Oh my God. I have friends that are pregnant. I have friends with toddlers. I have friends with children that are like in elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I don't miss it.
I love that for them. I don't want that back. I don't want it back. I'm looking forward. Special. Yeah, I love that for you. And I'll go look at their pictures and be like, oh my God, you guys were so cute. Have no desire to do it again though. None. At
Easter, you know, I mean, the holiday that just passed, and I don't miss eggs. I don't miss stuffing them. I don't miss you finding them. I don't miss pretending that I don't know where I hid it. I just don't, there's nothing about it I miss. I enjoyed it when I was there.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the nostalgia of what it used to be. I'm so good with memories.
Yes, same. My mom swears, my parents are empty nesters. So it's me and then I have a younger brother. He's 5 years younger than me. Oh. And so I have the only grandkids. And we live 7 hours away. So, you know, their house is empty, like for real empty. And she's like, she's miserable. She hates it. She's like, it's so quiet. I hate it. I miss having kids. I'm like, girl, tell me when, where. So my kids actually spend the summer with them because.
How amazing. My mom is 6 minutes away. So they'll go to her. But my mom lived with us for 11 years prior to a year and a half ago. Has it been a year and a half? So yeah. So they're used to my mom. But it's funny you said the empty nester. So in my mind, I'm practicing.
Yeah.
And because I'm about 4.5 years out from empty nesting. And while they don't have to move, they can go to school locally, live locally, save me the money, right? While they don't have to move, I'm going to act as if they've moved, which means I don't care when you eat. Like, it's your business. It's your business. And so a friend was like, because I'm really close to my kids. And are you going to be sad? I said, I will be sad on the sand.
Like, I would be hello?
On the sand. My heart can handle the duality of sad and celebration. And so I will be sad on the sand. Like, if I'm going to be sad, it will be in another.
I'll be FaceTiming you from Belize. Oh, I miss you so much. Yeah,
I will find my solitude at the airport. Believe me when I say, I'm like, I'll be sad, but on someone's sand or in somebody's mouth,
bye-bye.
Some trees. Nature will have to nurture me, okay?
Mother Earth will bring me back to my full self.
Yeah, I'm going to become one with God's creation.
I'm going to eat, pray, love my way out of it.
Yeah. Like traveling jean pants, whatever that means. Yes. All the things. Only thing I'm not trying to do is get my groove back because I am happily married.
Keep the man. That part's done.
Movie that shows a woman on her excursion, I'm there for it.
Yes. My oldest does not believe me. And I'm like, he always talks about he wants to be a young parent because we were young parents. And so,
okay.
And I'm like, okay, you better hope Nana and Pop-Pop are around to help you because I'm going to be in Paris. I would love to for you to send me all the pictures. I'm like, I gave you everything I had, baby, in my 20s, 30s, my 40s and 50s. Those are mine. I need those back.
I will be 50 when my son graduates. And in my mind, I'm like, they will be at the graduation party trying to figure out who we celebrating.
Right.
Be like, 50.
Who's that young lady in the back? Oh, that's my mom.
They were like, I will be 50 and free, honey, and ready to fly. Okay. Put me in the air somewhere. Like, just put me in there. It could be an hour flight to Vegas. Just put me in the air somewhere.
Gotta go. He doesn't believe me. And I was like, you going to find out the hard way.
You're
going to be knocking on that door looking like this in the window. And I'm going to be like, why are you on my porch from my video ring on?
And the rate they're going by, then they'll have AI to babysit.
Call the robot, child. I don't know.
Artificial intelligence may keep it. There's a robot to keep your kid, I'm certain. In your own home.
Tell Alexa to watch her. I got to go.
Siri should be really able by then. Like, Siri can't do it. Siri can't keep your kids.
Yeah. Okay. Let her do it. Oh, goodness. Okay. So, what we supposed to be talking, listen, this is just going to be the vibe today. I'm not pressuring nothing. We're going to get to what we get to.
And we just roll with it. I'm down.
Listen, if you didn't come for the vibes today, then you are on the wrong podcast, okay? This is what you're getting. This is what we're giving. This is what you're getting today. And this is it.
We're gifting you.
Pull up a chair, grab a glass. Yes. Yes. It's a vibe. It's just a vibe type of day. Okay, so we know that you're amazing. Tell us how you got here. What's some of your background? What is your interest? Because your specialty is in emotional intelligence, which I do want to talk about and tap into today. And so tell us about how you got interested in that specific topic.
Absolutely. So I've always been a teacher and a teacher at heart. I remember lining my dolls up when I was a child and talking to the dolls, quite literally all the Cabbage Patch dolls and all that stuff. And so I recognize that God has landed me back where he created me. So, you know, we always talk about tap into the child that you were. But even in my real career, a real career, what is that? But I was a school teacher for 10 years. I taught algebra. I taught third grade, fifth grade, and then algebra for 10 years. Got married and pregnant and realized I did not want to do both, parent and teach. Mm-hmm. Somebody was going to lose and lack.
Yeah.
Like, really. And then something told me it would be home. So didn't do that. I've always been an entrepreneur, even while I was teaching. I had a tutorial business. And so I've always done something. But when I, okay, so funny story, my husband's white. Well, that's not the funny story, but funny story to him being white is that when I was pregnant, he was like, well, do you want to stay home? And I was like, you're trying to keep the black man down. Like, I have degrees I'm supposed to work. So I have an undergrad degree in sociology. I have a master's in education. My trajectory pre-husband was to be a principal. I really wanted to be a principal. So I felt like that was my career path, so to speak. And so I wanted to do the PhD after marriage, but what I thought was the flu ended up being my first child. And so I stayed home. Once I saw her at 3 months, it hit me that I had this opportunity to be home and don't have to leave her with any weirdos or strangers. Yeah. And at that time, my mom wasn't retired. And so I'm like, what do I do? And so I went on this path of, you know, entrepreneurship full time. And I did branding and marketing for some amazing companies. But I started recognizing around 2016 that I just felt like everybody cared they say they cared about the people, but they really only cared about the product. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't care about the product as much as I cared about the people. I'm like, your product will move if you care about the people. And so then I had this, what I would like to call, it was not a nervous breakdown, but I had this episode in New York where I just was like, I hate what I'm doing. I was there. I prayed to be bi-coastal, was there for a speaking engagement, and then had another meeting. After that meeting, I decided I hate this. And I stood on a New York corner. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Now, the way I grew up was assorted. I always say it's assorted particular way. And so I always had to have a plan. Well, this was the first time I was about to quit something. Mm-hmm. I don't call it a pivot. I call it a quit. I think quitting is good. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when people are like, don't call it a quit. It's a pivot. No, I'm not pivoting. I'm quitting. Okay. It's like, I don't love this. I hate it, actually. I actually hate the people. The person I just had the meeting with, I think I might hate her, and that's deep. And so I was like, hatred is filling up in me as I'm standing here on this New York corner. Funny thing is, I start boohoo crying on the corner, right? So I'm like, what's happening to me? Well, the people are passing me by. It's New York. They're probably
New York. Nobody cares.
They're like, she just got laid off. Her man just left. Her man just left and she got laid off. I'm sure they had a narrative, right? And so I could not put my foot in front of the other. I quite literally could not move. Wow. And so I made my calls. We'll probably talk about this later. Maybe, maybe not. But I have a list of 5 people that I would call in if something was happening. Like, you know, you have your friends like, oh, yeah, let me run this by. So my crew, but my husband is not 1, 2, or 3 on the list. I know that sounds funny to people, but it's not. And so I made my 5 calls, one being my very best friend, like, you know, that friend who doesn't care about what you do at all. She'll fart with you or, you know, that friend. And so she's like, is this midlife crisis? Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe, I don't know, but I know I don't want to do this. She was like, okay, then boom, quit. Fast forward, get to my mom. She's fine. Cause at this point I had my mom partially retired. Like, she was, you know, and so she had depended on us a lot. And so it was like, wait, what am I going to do? Call 3, 4, and 5. My husband being the 5th, and he's more analytical, but my sissy, this is what mattered, how I got here. So my sissy says, oh, well, she's a therapist, mind you. She says, you're late. And I said, huh? And mind you, I'm crying, right? And mm-hmm. So she says, you said that you were only going to go this hard until you could retire mom. Well, you hit that goal in November. It's June. You're late. Mm. And I was like, well, damn. Mm. And in that moment, I quit. Mm-hmm. And I walked to the books. I mean, like, when I say I quit, I officially was like, I'm changing my email. I'm shutting off the website. I'm doing all these things. But I know then God made me call those people to say I'm quitting.
Yeah.
Because I would have finagled my way out of it, come over with a plan B and C, because I'm good at planning. And so I walked to a bookstore. I have never journaled in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm just not a journaler. I think it's beautiful. It's just not my thing, right? Mm-hmm. I get too distracted, girl. I'll start writing it. I will have a stage play. And you're supposed to be writing about what you're grateful for. So I don't journal. But I started writing that day, just list of what do I think I want to do. And I emptied myself quite literally. I had to empty myself of all ideas. I wrote everything down. Like, well, you said you want to do ceramics. You love pickles and Kool-Aid. Like, are we about to start a pickle? Like, I just was writing down everything. Yeah. But I came back to my love of human behavior. I really do love studying how humans and interact. And I had read a book by Daniel Goldman a long time ago. He's the father of emotional intelligence. And I was like, I think I want to know more about that. And I had met a young woman who had spoken. Was it at that event or event before? Bottom line, I reached out to her, asked her some questions, and then the rest was history. And that was in 2018. So it was like 2016, I started filling the pool. 2018, mom is retired. Like, everything was what I had desired. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward to now, I've been doing this. I work with corporations, organizations, some you may know of, and I just train their teams on emotional intelligence, like how to show up in your emotions.
Mm. Who doesn't
know that was that? A long story.
No, that was so captivating. You're a phenomenal storyteller, by the way.
Has oh, thank you. I'm like, that was a long way to say I quit in 2018.
You're talking to the person that says long story short, and then I still got like 17 more stories in me for that one story. Like, and you took way less detours than I take. So
oh, see, I will, girl, because I will. I'm like, oh, I need you to get it. And okay, so good.
Because girl, I'm gonna be like, girl, and then I had these shoes on, and the shoes was.
I started to say, and I know I had on leopard print because I love me some animal print, and I know I had on red lipstick, so that's why the people just passed
give
by.
It all to me. I wanted to know, like, girl, what were you thinking? Was it raining? Was it 65 and sunny? What was happening? Paint me a picture. I want to be there with you. What? Because I have so many questions. Right? No, but all of that is it gives background to who you are, how you feel, how you think. I mean, it gives all of that. So I you know, there's no short answer to, I said, to get, tell us how we got here. You
how we got exactly here. That. Well, I took you on the scenic route.
You took us on a journey. I love it. No, this is good. Okay. So now that we're into emotional intelligence and so you start to study that some more. And so let's talk about that. Let's start at the basics. What is the definition of emotional intelligence?
Oh, I like this. So for me, there's a deeper emotional intelligence. I mean, understanding of it. But if we were going to talk at the very basic level, it's being able to tap into what you're feeling in real time. Mm-hmm. And there's two ands. And what the other person who's in this experience may be feeling in mm-hmm. real time. And choosing a behavior to suit the circumstance.
Mm.
And the reason that second piece and the third piece is important is because usually people who have never studied emotional intelligence, you know, you can become whatever you want with social media. And so there are people who are actually out here declaring to be a specialist in it. I am an emotional intelligence practitioner, which means I have been certified.
Mm.
It's a B-level assessment certification. Mm-hmm. So I can administer EQ tests. But what you usually will see on the TikTokies and as my kids will say, Mom, why do you have to say the Instagram and the Twitter? What you will see is most people are just like, it's about being in tune with what you feel.
Yeah.
Well, that's only one part. Emotional intelligence says I can be in tune and know exactly what I'm feeling in real time and the other person, whether that's the person, the barista at Starbucks, or be it my own child.
Mm-hmm.
I am in tune and I can see what's happening to this person and to myself. And then I choose a behavior to suit the circumstance.
And I wanted to have this conversation with you because I feel like we're in such a selfish time, right? Where and honestly, it's easy to be so focused on what you think and how you feel that we don't take enough time to think about the Starbucks barista and the person next to you, right? And like, and really identify, and it's something that I'm working really strongly with in my children. Like, look at this person's face. Do they look like they think it's a joke? Do they think it's funny? Do they like when you do that to them, right?
Yes.
And so taking that full rate, that full bird's eye view of how everybody is feeling and how I feel in this moment, and it's not just about me. Because if I'm doing something that makes me happy, but everybody around me is miserable, now there's levels to that, right? Of course.
Yeah, exactly. But for the core, what you're saying is absolutely correct.
But even if it is something that makes me extremely happy, but my husband is miserable, I need to take that into consideration and maybe find a better balance, right? Because I shouldn't be on 10 and he should be on 0.
Yeah.
We should have a better, you know, a better meeting ground. And that's in any relationship. And so I just feel so strongly that this time, particularly, like, because we're so involved in our phones and in what we want and what we do, it's such a singular vision of, you know, experience right now. Everything is such a singular experience. You don't have to look at what, you know, we're not taking the time to look around and feel and really feel what other people are feeling and see how other people are feeling. And so I think it's so important to have these conversations and to have these assessments and to talk about the full picture of it all, right? And how it all goes together. And it's not just about me.
And something you said about it being a selfish time, I just have never seen so many selfish people who are most selfish to the people they chose.
Mm.
So you selected a husband, you darn sure chose your children, right? Because at least with a partner, you chose each other.
Mm-hmm.
But you chose your children,
mm-hmm.
you accepted your job, the way people talk about self-care in such a way as if all these other things have been forced upon them,
yeah,
is just mind-blowing
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great home, but I know it's because of what we decided to build. I mean, I've been married 17 years, but I think I'm just really astonished at the level of selfishness for things we've chosen.
Yeah.
So I might get in trouble and never invite it back.
Never. But like
all the moms who are trying to figure out, how do I get me back?
Yeah.
Well, the me back person didn't have kids and you chose these children. Mm. And so it's like, how do you reestablish or re-identify?
Yes.
Who you are with these things you've chosen.
Yes.
Partner, mate, children, job, career. And so that selfish thing, it's every time I hear people talk about putting themselves first,
mm-hmm.
I'm always thinking, you should have thought about that before you said yes. Because I don't know a person alive, especially with social media, who can't get some kind of inkling of what could be. Yeah. In a marriage, whether it's good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like you scroll long enough, you're going to see the person who was like, I divorced him.
Yep.
And I'm living my best life. Or mm-hmm. you're going to scroll and see the person who's like, yeah, we renew our vows every year, Jackie Christie. You know, that might tell on myself that I watch everybody's, I watch Ratchet TV, but you're going to see the spectrum, right?
Right.
Of love.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who get in it and somehow act surprised that whatever could be behind door 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
Same with children.
Yeah.
You heard the last mom talk about how tiring it is.
Mm-hmm.
So to then have them and then try to undo what it takes is just, in my mind, it's fallacy. It's like, this isn't truth.
Yeah. So I want to sit in that because... Yeah. Especially with, obviously, let's go into motherhood and let's talk
yes.
about like,
oh, yes.
how does emotional intelligence connect and how does digging mm-hmm. into that make us a better mom? Because we don't, you know, I do believe we are in a time where you're either the trophy mom that says, I never need a break from my kids because, you know, like blah, blah, blah. Right. Like if my kids can't go, I'm not coming. That was a whole thing. Right. Girl, you're not coming. Or at least not over here. Or there's this glorified, like where you're glorifying the burden of having children. Right. And so we're so deep in it. And there's a middle ground where like we can laugh and joke about how hard it is and how exhausting they are, right? Like, cause I'm gonna do that all day, every day, right? But I do think there's an extreme version of both where there's like,
yes.
like I said, the version of the mom who never takes a break cause her children fill her up and they're gifts from God and she'll, you know, she doesn't yeah. need a break from them.
Yeah.
And then there's also this version of motherhood where, let's be honest, some mothers are in this space where they do, you know, and their circumstances aren't as pretty or rosy as yep. some others may look or seem, yep. right? And so
yep.
it does feel burdensome to them yes. to be yep. somebody's mama, absolutely. Right? Because yep. even when you have, we know, or I can't speak for you, I know I have a whole husband, but there's a whole line of this parenthood thing that I have to do very singularly at times because yes. of what he does for a living,
yes.
right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the expectation is that I would do it and I would do it with a smile on my face because
yes.
I have a vagina. So yes. why wouldn't yes. I, right?
Oh, vaginas duh. Make you smile.
Right. So enjoy every moment, right? So how do we navigate that and use emotional intelligence to keep us somewhere in the middle so it doesn't feel so extreme and so we don't feel so out of place? If I don't fit in with this, the mom who never needs a break, but I also don't hate my kids. They just kind of like work yeah. my nerves a little bit. You know what I mean? Just need a little breaky break. That's it. A little uh-huh. break and a little snacky.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
How do we use yeah. emotional intelligence to navigate that and to keep us grounded in the middle?
So part of it is, it's really, so like I said, with emotional intelligence, is knowing what I feel in real time, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is such a loaded thing. I have all these thoughts swirling, so I'm just going to throw them at you, okay? So yeah. One of the things that my husband and I do is we have this rule. He taught it to me. He's when we were 6 months in, because things changed with nursing pattern, right? And so where he was picking up way more of the house chores because of my nursing schedule and I had a cesarean and all those things, mm-hmm. it started to change. And at some point we needed to renegotiate. Mm. And so he always talks about everything is up for renegotiation. Mm. So what we did just 6 months ago may not be what we're doing today.
Yes.
Based on what we feel and how it's weighing on us, right? Mm-hmm. And so where there was a season of me having to wake up every 2 hours during the night, that changed. And so now our things can change. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we do enough renegotiation with our lives. We want to stick to something and think we are stuck on longevity, right? So we think if I do this thing that shows commitment, well, I'm committed to the peace of this house, which means cleaning day might be Friday night during track season or basketball season, and then it might switch to Sundays. So renegotiating what you need, but it requires you to tap into what you feel.
Yeah.
The other thing is being able to not just care about the results so much, but what it makes you feel like while you're trying to get the results.
Yeah.
And so that's tapping into, do we feel at peace? Like, yes, I want a clean house, but is this stressing me out? Now, here's where I think, but all of us can do better. Turning down the volume in our lives. Mm-hmm. If we weren't comparing our motherhood, our partnerhood, marriages to everybody else's good or bad, extreme. Well, I'm not this mom. I love my kids. If we were to just tune out everybody's everything, a lot of us would be more satisfied with the jobs we're doing. Mm. But because we have so many opinions coming at us with, when they're not even talking to us, like we invite these opinions by scrolling everybody's feed to see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so because we invite these things in, I feel like it's jacking us up.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know if any of us are able to scroll at the pace we do and at the volume that we do and really be able to not filter our lives through those little squares.
Yeah.
So I'm for take the pressure off.
Yeah.
You know, of thinking it's supposed to look a particular way. Mm-hmm. Take the pressure off. Another thing I'll throw in, because it's important for anything, and this is part of my own theory, is that emotions aren't actions. Mm. And what I mean by that is most of the times we don't want to feel what we make these actions, or we make these emotions actions. So
yeah,
we do it to our children too, by the way. So it's like, what are you crying for? Don't be angry. Or why are you mad? Mad is not an action. Mad is telling me that something's happening to me that's displeasing to me, and I now need to choose an action. That's that third part, a behavior to suit the circumstance. But feel what you need to feel. Mm-hmm. Tired is actually not the action. Mm. Tired is what I feel. What do I do with tired? Do I go to bed earlier? Do I eat a better meal? Do I drink coffee? Do I call my girlfriend? Do I schedule a massage? Do I tell my husband I ain't doing it? Do I order food? Do I... like the action. So because we're always trying to get as far away from the feeling as possible.
We're running. Running from
like
that.
Literally like, oh God, here goes tired. I can't be the mom that's tired. So let me get on here and show everybody how in love I am with my family.
Yes.
And you notice, I don't show y'all crap.
Not a damn thing. But the green background, baby, that's it. That's
the green squares, and they gonna change colors soon. But I'm not in it for anyone to have to see me for multiple reasons. I don't want anyone comparing their lives to me who think it's good. And then I don't want anyone who thinks it bad to think that they could tell me you open yourself up to something when you do it. And I think there's healthy doses, and I think there's brands that are contingent upon the share, right? But I'm mindful. At 47, I'm mindful that me allowing myself or allowing others exposure to my world does something to what I start to think about my world.
Yes. Yeah.
And we know it because you're trying to get the perfect picture.
Mm-hmm.
You want to fluff your kid's hair before you turn on the camera. You don't want to eat because you want to take a picture of the food first. Right. Like, so when people say, oh, I just post, I'm like, no, you don't, because you prep. Like,
there's something. It's a lot of prep.
It's a lot of prep. Like, we are prepping.
Yeah.
And then we take like 55 pictures to post one. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is tuning into the whys and what do I feel about my real life minus the audience.
Yeah.
I just think a lot of moms would feel better about themselves if they didn't have an audience.
Yeah.
So and mind you, by the way, audience could be the school moms too. That's
no. So that I was getting ready to say, because there's way more moms than are, there's way more moms not living their lives out loud, right, on social media, like what I do, right?
The like, I'm a could be the mommy group.
Yes. That's way harder than what I do, girl. Cause let me tell you something. I would post on Instagram all day before I go be myself in a PTA meeting. Absolutely not. No, thank you.
There you go. So that's what I'm saying. So when I say audience, it's like tune out everyone. Yeah. I just use social media because most so like on a platform like yours, I'm sure you have this beautiful life. You have these beautiful children. You have the successful husband. You have the successful marriage. You yourself have your own thing going. I'm sure there's people who are scrolling like, how do I get more like this? Right. Mm-hmm. But then these are the same people. Usually your behavior is your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're showing up curated online, you're probably trying to show up curated in real life, mm-hmm. or you just won't show up in real life
because
mm-hmm. right. you can't curate it the same.
Exactly. And so that was going to be my follow-up, which is how do we do that? Because when it's Big Mama saying, girl, you let them kids come over here with them ashy elbows. When was the last time they ate? Or, you know, what you mean you going out of town again? You was just doing such and such. You leaving them kids again? How do we do that? How do we, is it just a choice? Is it a decision? Like, how do we block that and stay in the zone of this is what's for me, right? Like, how do we keep that? How do we do it?
Okay, well, you just said something that's key. So two things. One real quick is a mantra I tell myself. Everyone gets an opinion, but not everybody gets a vote. So in other words, I don't try to stop opinions. You say what you want to say. My mom could be like, oh, those little, her little shorts.
Mm-hmm.
That's an opinion. Now, do I decide, yeah, they are a little short. You know what I mean? Or do I? So everybody can get an opinion. Not everybody can get a vote.
Yes.
The vote starts with this address.
That's good. And it ends
with this address.
Ooh, so that's good.
You can get an opinion, but everybody does not get a vote. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing is like how you said, how do I block it? Here's what I think is happening. Okay, so let's back up to what emotional intelligence does for us. It gives us success, okay? So you can have a great IQ, intellectual, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So your intellectual quotient could be high. You could be good at math. You could be good at all those things. You could be good at comprehension. You could be good, but you could suck as a person.
Mm.
And so EQ says, I don't suck as a person when you have a high emotional intelligence.
Okay.
It means that I know how to communicate. I know how to be present. I know how to de-escalate. I know how to consider stress. I know how to balance my workday, all those things. But I'm showing you it's tied to success. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm finding. Most people have yet to define what success would be for them.
Mm.
And so success is always this moving target.
Yes.
So most people I talk to have never sat down and said, what would a successful house look like? Ooh. What would a successful marriage look like? Yes. We just go, and that's when you get too into the feelings and you allow the feelings to be determined as actions.
Yes.
So based on how I feel is if it's good. So I wrote recently and a lot of people got pissed. A lot of people got with it. I'd never really care. Mm-hmm. But I talked about like at some point, I don't want to always have to grow.
I saw that. That was good. Listen.
I don't want to die. So yeah. I'll put it this way. For anyone that saw that, if you scroll back and you see it, I put it this way for those, but like, aren't you always growing? Someone said in the comments, if you're not growing, you're declining. I said, or you're being.
Right.
Because here's what I know about growth. If we were to define what full growth looks like, then at some point you could be and now teach others, help other people grow.
Mm-hmm.
But what good am I as a mom if I'm always trying to become a better mom and say my mom, my daughter becomes a mom and I don't have anything to give her because I'm still on this quest to become right. this better mom. I just think if we were to define what good, not even just good enough,
yeah,
what great is for me as a mom,
yes,
as a wife, oh, in my so career, if I were to just be able to define what it was good for me, I don't think we'll forever be chasing something. So a better way to look at it is, I don't want to die and somebody say, and she had yet to find her best self.
Oh my Lord, have mercy.
That's a whole different way, because everybody's like, oh, your best life, your better self, your highest this. Your...
And it leaves us always chasing something.
Which, but here's my mind. You could say you're chasing something or running from something else.
Listen.
At some point, I'm not running from my flaws. I'm not saying I'm going to do it all right. I just accept that I'm a human who is supposed to have flaws. I'm supposed to not get it right.
You and know so what visual came? The visual that came to my mind when you were explaining that was like, there are like things grow, right? And there's, and then that's it. That's as big as it's going to get, right? So like a tree, there's a certain tree that once it gets this certain height.
That was the example I used. The tree is that you can go to a nursery.
Yes.
Right now we're working on our yard, right? And I was looking at these cypress trees and you can buy them based on what their full growth potential is. Now,
yes.
Will that, you have to maintain that tree?
Yes. Once it reaches its growth, its height, it's now you just maintain it.
It's maintenance. And if it's a fruit tree,
come on.
You want me to tell you what's so good?
Come on.
The fruit tree knows I don't have to give you fruit.
Come on. You know. In every season, you're not going to get fruit.
In some seasons, you're not getting anything. You're going to get these what look like some dead branches, except they're tied to a fully grown trunk. So when it's time for me to produce, I will produce. That's just the level of comfort. I'm not fully there yet. I have a couple of areas, particularly health, where I want to, I don't feel like I've reached my greatest potential. But once I'm there, I'm just trying to maintain.
Yeah.
I don't need another book to tell me how to be a different. See, here's what's happening. We are confusing better with different.
Yeah.
It might not be better for you. It might just be a different way. Well, guess what? I don't need a different way.
Nope. I'm done. I'm tired.
If everybody in this house is hopping around happy.
Yeah.
That's success for me. And so I knew it's interesting because my mom didn't have the opportunity. She didn't have the tools, the opportunity, the time. She didn't have any of it to be a present mom.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is when I found out I was pregnant, I remember asking myself, what kind of mom do you want to be?
Yeah.
And I now ask myself that for everything. It's me defining what would be great for me.
That is so good.
So I think this defining success, something else I'll say is that I think we do really good. No, let's go back to the success real quick first. So we're talking about defining your success right now. And if I were to say to you, and I'm not going to put you on the spot, right? Because you're my cousin. But if I were to ask you or other people, I do it all the time now, and it's become my little thing. What is success for you? And most of us will talk about accolades, accomplishments. What do you, I mean, it's just how we were raised. It's not an attack on anyone. It's just that's how our culture is, right? So it starts with education, and then it goes into your job, and then promotions, and then the money, and then the titles, and all those things feel like success, right? Which is the other reason I think moms are lost on wanting to look for something, because we think success means these things, right? And like, what title is mom? Like, you don't get to be executive mom. Like, mom is mom. So we want another title. So I know too many women who have the opportunity to be a great mom and just a great mom, but that just throws them off. Cause it's like, I'm just a mom. So I'm supposed to be more, but they don't realize that that's the most powerful job you can have in the universe, because you're sending humans into the world. And so that's the biggest job, but I digress. When we think about success and we think about what's considered successful, we name all these things. Now, let me ask the same person, what matters most to you? You're not going to name anything on that success list. You're going to name. So isn't it weird, strange, peculiar, and just dumb that the things we say matter most does not feel like success?
Wow. Wow.
I just think I think that's scary that the things I say that matter most does not feel like success for me.
Yeah.
And watch this. We end up nurturing and putting more time in the success part.
Yep.
And never giving that time and love to the things we matter about that matter most. If I ask you what matters most, you're going to say your parents, your kids, your husband, those are the things that matter, your faith, your except health, those all get the little bit, your health, but that gets the little bit.
Yep. Yep.
But if I say what's success, having three babies, having a husband, having my mama. No, those are all the things we say that work our nerves while we're trying to chase success.
Yeah, it's those that's the burden, right?
The burden are the things we say that matter most.
Yep. And now so that's why you're looking wrong at it as a burden. Ooh, Jesus.
Wrong with the things that matter most should be what you find success in. So all I'm saying is don't drop off the accomplishments if that makes you feel good. Fine. Mm-hmm. But start to define success for the things that matter most.
Not often am I speechless, because I'm sitting here reevaluating my whole fucking life.
When you look down, it looks like, okay, so
maybe if I just gaze out of this window for a little bit longer. I mean, I am wrecked. I gotta call my therapist when we get off the phone. Like, I'm toast. This was so good to me. So good. And I'm preparing myself to go into another segment, but I need to sit in this for a minute because it's almost as if you researched every insecurity that's living inside my body and decided to address them publicly today on my podcast.
It's like, did I really mean to drop in your DMs? Maybe I should just kept it at the DMs.
Who sent you is what I want to know. Who sent you? Which craftery is this that you would just attack me on my show? This is my show.
The audacity.
The unmitigated gall.
Yes.
No, this is good. This was good. It's really, at the end of the day, it's just a perspective shift. Because who says, right? I kid you not. So one of the lines in my whole, I got to rework my whole business model. One of the lines is more than just a mom. And it's not about chasing titles or anything like that, right? But everything I'm doing is coming from a season of feeling like that wasn't enough. And I'm literally sitting in a season where as I'm trying to chase these other things and these other titles and do all of these other, God keeps sending me back home to take care of my kids. And I'm like, but I have so much more to do and some more to give. Because
you've not found yourself successful in the beautiful job that only you could do with those babies.
Yeah.
You've not, it's not connected that the people I'm going to send out of my home, they're going to directly impact a world based on the work I did. Like the idea that we as moms drive a nation and we don't even see it. So I would challenge you and other moms to say, I'm gonna give you two challenges. One to say mom and not more than a mom, like I'm a mom and I'm.
Yeah.
And getting really comfortable with the and, like not diminishing the mom part. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, I really think we have to do better at, instead of saying who am I, answering why am I. And once we start filling in that, why am I? So I know why I am. I know exactly why. That's a question I lived with for the last year, actually after COVID. But then the last year, I was like, I think I'm onto something. Who am I? It's easy because I start rattling off the titles.
Yep.
But why am I brings me back to my real reason.
Yeah.
Dare I say the fluffy word of purpose, right? Mm-hmm. But really, why am I? Why am I in this house? Yeah. Why am I their mom? Mm-hmm. Why am I his wife? Mm-hmm. Why am I her friend? Once I start doing that, it starts removing all the pretentious BS, right? It starts taking off the performance because it's like, well, I wasn't in here. I'm not your friend to buy you the best gift. Mm-hmm. I'm not your friend to make sure we post that we're eating dinner together.
Yeah.
Like, I'm your, more than that. So just really getting into, like, why do I exist? Why am I these things? And it just adds, and so it doesn't make you this mom that's floating around like, ooh, I'm a mom, yeah. But it makes you a real human and yeah. seeing your children as the same. These are humans that you're raising. Most of us see our kids as projects. You know
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But we treat them like they're really a part of they're projects. We treat our marriages like they're projects, like all the, because again, if it's based on your title, then you're doing the work and you're making the kids and the husband the work.
Yeah. Especially these teenagers, child. That one feel like a project on a daily
basis. On a day. But what if your husband told you you're just a project? What if your husband said, well, just so you know, you're just the work. Like, you're just the work to make me look good. Girl, I would pack and leave tomorrow. And that's after burning all his shit.
Like, to the ground.
I'm out. Don't tell me I'm part of the project.
Even if someone was to look at me, and I am able to look back at myself at 15.
Yeah.
And say, thank God. Like, there's the, you know, and so there is this season. I feel like teenagers, God gave us teenagers to build faith. That's the only reason they exist, because you are literally on a daily basis looking at something that looks nothing like what God told you they was going to be, right? Because when you had that cute little 8 pound, 6 ounce baby, you was like, you're going to lead nations and you're going to run businesses. And now I'm looking at this Negro like, you can't even tie your shoe straight. And I don't know what.
Nothing I what about I'm, yesterday. I was like, when did you become a slacker?
What I'm looking at don't match what God told me you was going to be. So I got to have faith, because this ain't matching it. You know what I'm saying? So no, but it's constantly that, right? And it's really like, almost as if I'm giving myself the power to create him into this thing that has nothing to, I was nothing but the vessel. That's it. I don't have any. And so
That's
I have to, you, and in every part of our lives, we have to speak it until we see it, because there will be seasons where there is no fruit. And I feel like right now in a season of raising a teenager where I can't see the fruit. It's bare branches.
You have to give them the same autonomy that you require as a human. Not as a child, because they're still our children. Mm-hmm. But as a human, I need space to be tired.
Yes.
I need space to be like, I ain't that creative today. I
to
need
be
space
angry.
To be like, I don't feel like it.
Yes.
I need space to be able to just be.
Yeah.
And we don't give that to our kids. We want them to be on
all the time.
Dare I say, we want them to be on demand.
On demand, in perfection.
As soon as I say something, they're supposed to feel like it. So I'm the parent that I'm just like, listen, today this is what I need y'all to do. Matter of fact, these two things, just as long as it's done before the weekend's out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want you telling me, get out the bed and go do such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And it might work. I've said this before. I say it all the time in my posts at some point, usually around Mother's Day. It might work for rules, but I really prefer my kids to have my heart than rules.
Mm.
Because the rules end up meaning that they're going to follow them just so they can shut me up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not building anything.
Nope.
That's just fear-based.
Yeah.
Them having my heart is going to be a way of them wanting to honor me, honor my husband and I, honor our work. But more than that, honor themselves and honor God. And so in my mind, I have to treat them like humans.
Yeah.
The same human needs that I have. They don't get to run over me. They still have to do these things. But what good is it to get out the bed and go do such and such? Hey. And they're tired. They done had a whole week. These school assignments.
Mm-hmm. It's a different time.
This 17-page paper that my daughter just had to write.
Yeah.
I called her a slacker because she waited to the last weekend because she got it 6 weeks ago. But it was 17 pages.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to wake her up after she set up to finish it to go and clean the kitchen.
Right.
Yo, give yourself about 20, 30 minutes and then come do the kitchen.
Because again, what does success look like?
How do
you define success? Is success teaching them that no matter how tired you are, go do it anyway? Because
Come on. You see what I'm saying? But we're talking about self-care and self-love and self-preservation and all the other self-BS.
Yeah.
But we're telling our children, no, you don't get to preserve.
When you say you're tired, doesn't matter, because I say go do this now. That's good. That's good.
I say go do this.
Yeah.
And then and in my mind, it's the one place that we get to be in so full control, such mm-hmm. control of another human, that we overdo it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm the mom.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So do what I said do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, y'all, before we get into our fun questions, let me tell you about today's sponsor. Are you passionate about seeing families experience the joy of parenthood? You might be the perfect fit to be a gestational surrogate with Fairfax Surrogacy. Fairfax Surrogacy is looking for empathetic, responsible women in search of a meaningful way to make a difference who are ages 21 to 40, healthy, and have had at least one successful pregnancy. Surrogates can earn $53,000 or more in compensation for helping to build a family, but the joy of seeing the parents' face when they meet their child for the first time is priceless. Fairfax Surrogacy ensures the surrogate's rights and health are protected while providing a positive and fulfilling experience from start to finish. Surrogates who work with Fairfax are valued, respected, and an integral part of the miracle of life through their transparent compensation and personalized matching and guidance. Fairfax is led by women who have been surrogates or gestational carriers themselves, who understand the power and control over your reproductive choices and the empowerment of bringing joy to families. This team of incredible women work to build a sense of community and comprehensive support system for both the parents and the surrogates. Help grow your family's nest egg while helping other families grow their nest. Contact Fairfax Surrogacy at fairfaxsurrogacy.com today to see if you qualify.
Yeah. Ooh. You have blessed me. And I'm just going to go next because I'm going to get off topic and we got to keep it moving. Okay. As much as I hate to derail the train, even though I feel like this is not going to be a derail, this is going to be so much fun. Yes. We're going to take a pause on the serious stuff and spill the tea for a minute. Okay.
Okay. So
this is always my favorite part, because I feel like I get more personality out of y'all.
Yes.
Y'all be serious when y'all be talking about y'all background stuff though. Y'all don't.
It's true. It's so okay. True.
So I got to break it up. We got to lighten the mood a little bit. So what are we sipping on? Maybe not necessarily now, depending on what, you know, what are we sipping on? And then would you choose an alcoholic beverage? Would you not? If so,
I probably wouldn't, but that's just because I'm a lot. So I am definitely the social drinker.
Okay.
If I'm out, I might have a cocktail, and then okay. You have to ask me how often do I go out, because I'm a homebody.
Like,
but I am addicted to coffee.
Okay.
I'm absolutely addicted to coffee. I probably have about 3 cups a day.
Really? But it doesn't juice you up. You just like coffee.
I just love coffee. I can even do decaf after dinner just because I like the taste of coffee. Yeah. It's served as a dessert, breakfast. Mm-hmm. You know, any health professionals out there, don't come for me. My bladder has been suffering because of it. But I mean, just show me where the restroom is. Everywhere I go, I just need to know the exit in the restroom when I'm good. So.
See, and everybody is always very shocked. I'm not a coffee drinker at all.
Really?
I don't like the smell. I don't like the taste. I've tried it several different times. I get the jitters, and I feel like I snorted a line. Like when I drink, I can't do it. But anything that has like energy stuff in it, I can't. Yeah. I can't do like a Red Bull. I can't do 5-hour energy.
Yeah, see, man, that's crazy. I can't do any of those kinds of things. It just has to be coffee. I don't even like the souped up ones so much at Starbucks. Like there's like one drink, but I'm a Keurig K-Cup.
Pete's
coffee. That's it.
Yeah,
that's probably what I'm drinking on.
Give me a chai tea latte if we're going non.
I do like a chai.
I'll stick non-alcoholic with you. Okay, so if you're going to have a cocktail, what type of cocktail would you have?
If I'm going to have a cocktail, here lately, I love anything that's smoky or with jalapeno.
Okay.
So like these smoky drinks are, I was out with a friend recently. We did a staycation last weekend. And I, there was this smoky drink that had jalapeno, and it literally does taste like it has smoke in it. Mm. And it's, but I've been doing a jalapeno drink.
Okay.
So if it's spicy and smoky, I'm happy. Also, I don't like the taste of liquor. Now, this is because I indulged too much before. Let's be clear. So this is not calling judgment on those who indulge. I can't do red wine. It just tastes nasty. But I don't want to taste gin or tequila.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm usually, can I have rum?
Okay.
In my, I will switch out a cocktail easily, be like, can you make this with rum?
Can you actually make it with this?
Because I don't want to taste the, you know, I had a time or two.
Yeah.
That let me know, like, you're not cut out for this life, or you did too much.
This ain't your ministry.
This is not your ministry. When your husband has to bring you home lunch from work because every time you sit up, the room spins.
Yeah.
That was my last. And so I'm like, I just can't taste it anymore.
Yeah. I feel you. I feel you.
What's yours?
Yeah, everybody knows I'm going to get a Pinot Noir red wine out the gate.
You can do a red wine. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with red wine right now.
I need white sweet wine or like a Riesling. Yeah. See, most red wine people, they're like, you want. Yeah. I need my wine very sweet.
I don't want anything sweet. Now, I will do. I'll do a Riesling. Actually, Cooper's Hawk, if you have a Cooper's Hawk, they have a really delicious Blanc de Blanc, which is a white. It's not, it's like crisp. It's not like super sweet. I can do, I can't do a dry white. I can only do a dry red, but I can't do a super sweet because, you know, this 39 year old.
And I keep hearing that there's some sweet reds, but nobody's ever shown them to me. And I'm like, thank you. See, I'm so grateful because I've had wine drinks like, well, you can get a sweet red. I'm like, well, then that's communion juice.
That's Kool-Aid, girl.
Don't nobody yeah, that's that. I'm like, that's church juice.
The communion, the manish, just get you some Manischewitz.
I'm over here with communion juice at this point.
No,
so.
Hard pass. No. And I don't waste my time on cocktails in public because they don't make them strong enough. So.
Oh, see, I'll get the cocktail and then I know I have to have at least a second one because the second one they always make better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thanks. Hard pass. All right. Who is your celebrity crush?
Oh, geez. Can it be a girl crush?
It can be whatever you like. You can have whatever you like.
So, okay. So girl crush for no sexual reasons. Like, I don't really have a guy crush, but a girl crush would be Tracee Ellis Ross.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm so obsessed.
And a younger one would be Teyana Taylor. Both of those women, to me, feel like they just are really, truly who they say they are.
Yeah.
And I just think their energy is just like very just bomb. Like bomb. Just, you know, one's a mom and a wife. The other one has said no kids, but I believe her. I don't know if I believe everybody that says they don't want that, but I just believe Tracee Ellis Ross tried and true. So she's one of those, if I had to have a celebrity crush, it'd probably have to be a girl crush and it would have to be her.
I agree. Yes, if we're going girl crushes, Tracee Ellis Ross, absolutely. Lauren London, obsessed, gorgeous.
Definitely.
Teyana Taylor's, or like, I wish I was really sexy like her.
But it's her sexy boyish way, because I've always been a tomboy kind of thing. But I've always only loved women, no, same. To whomever. But yes. I am more tomboy. You know what I mean?
Same.
So. I will put on makeup because I don't have to do hair. Like, you get what I'm saying? So, but I have tattoos everywhere. And so Teyana, to me, taps into that.
Yeah.
That very different type of feminine.
Yeah. Energy. I love it. I don't have that type of energy. I'm just goofy and silly like all the time. I have
no... If I could be sexy, it would be her kind.
Yes. Yes. Give me that kind of energy. Like, I'm like, I always watch her and I'm like, oh, I wish I could. Channel that. I love it.
And to me, Tracee Ellis Ross is very womanly, even though she doesn't strike me as ladylike, and I'm okay with that. Because I don't have ladylike in me. I'm a woman.
It's not in me.
But I, you know, when people talk about your feminine energy, I'm definitely softer than most people think. I'm so I have a post coming now to talk about I reject titles like bold and fierce. Because to me, it feels like it's leaning so close to aggression.
Yeah.
And that's not who I am at all.
Mm-hmm.
But Tracy just to me embodies this level of, I'm a woman, but it's not so, you know, I'm just not
dainty.
I'm not dainty.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like long nails. Today I'm going to paint a wall and then I'm going to play with some wood. You mm-hmm. know, I'm always showing on my stories. I'm cutting wood or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I know Home Depot better than I know a Target.
I know that's right.
And so so both of those ladies would be my celebrity crush.
I love it. Chay, you gonna always pave your own path. I love it here.
It's so true. Girl, I used to get it. Remember we talked about the things you hated? I used to try to quiet my spirit as a kid because I would always get in trouble for it. Was to the point somebody would call me a rebel or something. Now mm-hmm. they want to call it a disruptor. And I'm like, no, I'm not those things. I follow rules, but I consider the rules before I choose to follow them. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to follow the rules. Otherwise, it's like, that's not for me. So yeah, I don't know. I just always have my own drum.
I love it. I'm trying to dance to the music, girl. Play the drum. Come on. Get it. I love it. Okay. If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Woo! If I could have a superpower, it's funny because you asked me how I was doing and I mentioned time. It would be to control time.
Yeah.
But here's what's so funny. As much as I complain that I feel time is speeding, I already say that my superpower is to move slow.
Yes.
I really don't like to rush for anything. I'm on time for everything, but I give myself enough time. I never rush. Mm-hmm. I'm not rushing ever, and I'm not late.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I have one of my superpowers is to just consider time. So I will wake up early.
Yeah.
My husband says I have a break before my day starts because don't talk to me while I drink my coffee. Like mm-hmm. I'm up before my first task
mm-hmm.
at least 30 to 40 minutes early so I could just ease into my day.
Yeah.
I love easing. So I think my superpower would be to really be able to control time.
Mm. It sounds like you're already doing a great job of that, but okay. No,
that would be crazy. It would still be Tuesday in 15 hours. It'd be like, oh no, we're going to do Tuesday for 48 hours. Like I would freeze time and be like, I have a long Tuesday. No. I mean, I'm talking about time control for real. Like it'd be like, wait, wasn't yesterday Friday? Yeah, it's Friday again.
Yep,
it's Fridays. Here we go.
Let's put you in charge of time. I like that.
We would skip Wednesdays.
Right.
Who likes them?
Who needs a Wednesday?
Yeah, who so needs useless. A Mondays would only useless. Be 6 hours. So I'm talking about control time.
Yes. Like. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Well, I am definitely an early bird.
Okay.
You want to know what time I go to bed?
Like 8:30.
7:30.
Get out! The sun is still up.
Well, that's the joke now. So here's the deal. I don't necessarily go to sleep.
Mm-hmm,
but I shut down my world.
Yeah.
My phone is on a charger away from me.
Okay.
I'm not scrolling. So whatever you lovely people are doing after 7:30 p.m. is not my business
You lovely people.
Yeah, whatever you lovely folks are doing after 7:30 p.m. is not my business. I don't believe that it is my business. It's beyond me now.
Okay? It'll be there when I get up in the morning.
Yeah. It'll be there in the morning. And the way the algorithm is set up, it's going to show it to me 3 times if I don't like it.
Right, so, literally.
That part. So yeah. So no, I go to bed. I shut down my world at 7:30, but I'm usually asleep by 9:30 at the latest, unless, you know, we're traveling or something like that. But even with that, I'm trying to get to the hotel room. And so I'm up. My body is up and ready by 6 a.m.
Okay. All right. That's reasonable hours since you go to bed. So, you know, you go to bed.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to get an 8-hour sleep.
People that are up at like 4 are beyond me. I can't.
No, I just need 8 hours sleep. I need my 8 hours. Let's be clear. I give me my full 8, not 8 and 15, not 7 and 15 or no. I want 8 hours at minimum. 9 hours feels good. When they started doing the study, talking about the research shows that you only need 7. I was like,
lies. 8. I love it. This is why this is my favorite part. Cause I feel like we get to the meat of who you really are.
So fun fact, I'm also your fakest extrovert.
You did say that.
So
I think you just choose who gets your energy well.
No, I really am. If I meet you out in public, you're going to get this energy.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, I'm like, where's Waldo? You're not going to see me in public often.
Felt 100%.
Like, send me home. Tell me. It was so bad when they said we had to stay home. My only problem is that everybody had to stay home.
Everybody's here. There's nowhere to go.
Like, I don't have to leave ever. And my husband's like, you know, we're out of quarantine. He still says that to me now. I'm like, So look, I have a surgery coming up. And he says, if you remind us one more time that you have to be in the house 2 weeks before surgery, because I keep telling them that, you know, my surgery's on the 30th. That means I have 2 weeks that I got. They're like, Mom, we know.
We know.
Don't ask me. Go anywhere. I don't want to go.
I will be in the bear cave. Don't ask me for nothing.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Hilarious. I love it. No, I feel that. I need to recharge after I people. I do a lot of peopling.
There you go. Yeah.
Which doesn't, I don't get to do hard nearly enough because there's so much peopling in basketball. Like, constantly. We got to go to something tonight.
Wow.
And we'll do tonight. I probably will not talk to anybody I got my hair done this morning and my hairstylist loves to talk. We're recording a podcast right now. And then I have a meeting after this and then an event tonight. I'm not speaking to anybody until Saturday. Like,
please. Oh, see, every day, if there's something I'm so good at is scheduling my day, I put quiet time. Yeah. At least 3 times in the day.
Yes.
But see, remember, I also have kids that are older, so they don't require me for homework help.
Yeah.
I don't have to check anything. Barely am I signing anything anymore.
Yeah.
And so 7:30, no one needs me at 7:30.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like,
what a time to be alive. I can't wait.
No one. So your reward is coming, girl.
The light is at the end of the tunnel.
I used to always be able to be this way, but now I can definitely carve out time. I can start my morning.
Yeah.
They have alarms. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to worry about them. Yeah. I can get up, drink my coffee before I even enter the abyss of real world.
Beautiful. So. I love it. I love it. All right. So what would you say has been the greatest lesson that you've learned about yourself as you've taken this journey through educating yourself about emotional intelligence?
That emotions aren't actions, that I absolutely should welcome every emotion. The other thing too is that emotions aren't all bad. So when we talk about emotions, most people only go to fear, anger, you know, but joy is an emotion. Peace is an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. And so I saw someone post not too long ago, you know, don't feel your emotions, but don't stay there. And I'm like, why not? And then the rest of the post was, you know, find your peace. I'm like, but peace is an emotion too.
That's good.
So why can't I stay in the, like, we just have to undo this notion of emotions are bad.
Yeah.
They're not. And so the more and more I study it and I teach it every day, literally, is that. And then the other thing is that we're all human at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing we all share in common is emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes you fearful may not make me fearful, but fear is fear.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? All of us experience. And so if we could just connect through the emotions, we would do better at this humanity thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And giving people space to, like you said, what you consider fearful may not. And so, like, giving you the space to say, I'm afraid of that. And that's okay.
And that's empathy. That's empathy. Like, most people will say empathy is being able to walk in your shoes, and that's not true.
Yeah.
Because my story and your story are two different things. And so you might try to walk in my shoes, but you're like, oh, I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. But if I could connect to the emotion you feel, so grief is grief, loss is loss, trust is trust, love is love. If I can connect to that emotion, I don't really need to understand your story to know that this saddens you. Or this makes you afraid, or this makes you happy, right? And so I just think learning that humans at the core, we have this shared thing, and that's emotions.
Yeah, that's really good. What would you say has been the greatest lesson that you've learned about your kids through this journey?
That they're humans.
Who
would have thought that these were humans? They're human beings, and that I'm only responsible for feeling. I'll give you an analogy really quickly. I told my daughter that her life, because she's the oldest, right? Like, she's a senior. She'll be a senior. But I think it was 10th grade. I said, I want to tell you something. I think, and this is only my opinion, but I think my role as your mom is you're holding this jar, and I'm just stuffing in all these little notes in this jar that I think you could use for your future. At some point, you're now going to take the jar and you're going to open it and you're going to go through it. And like, this was dumb. Mm-hmm. Don't like that. Oh my God, I'm glad she taught me this. I don't like that. And then there's going to come a point in your life where you're going to go back and you're going to get some things that you threw out. And you're like, wow, I did need that. Mm. I do want that. I'm just here to fill the jar.
Oh.
And so I have to tell myself all the time, don't try to control it. Just fill the jar. And so I'm just filling the jar. So when we have this new thing, because she's older, so there were some things that were just hardcore rules, like you're not dating at a certain age, right? Then now that she's going to be a senior, it's like my strong suggestion. So we have now some things that are just, they're not necessarily rules, but my strong suggestion is you don't think about dating right now, because all these feelings come up and you start choosing schools based on some guy, or you know what I mean? And so we now shift into strong suggestions, but my job is just to fill this jar.
You are like Mommy Yoda. I just want to sit here and ask you 9 million more questions.
I love it. And be clear that these are still things I have to practice because the seasons, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, watching her, like, let's be clear, there are now two women in our house that have periods. Well, that was, that's a different teenager than it was before. But most of us won't allow them that renegotiation. We don't allow them to say, oh, wait, we're in a different period of life, quite literally.
Literally.
You know what I mean? Like, because I have a girl. You don't have a girl, but I have to remember, also, if I PMS, she PMS. If her cramps make her feel like I don't want to live, I get it. Like, you know, that first day, you're like, just leave me alone. So I have to allow that space. So just, again, remembering that they're human, but renegotiating even with them.
Wow. Well, and because we want to create, so we miss the part where in raising them, we don't ever give them a chance to make decisions. How will they ever become decision-making adults? We don't give them room for that enough.
And that's why there's so one of the things my husband and I did before marriage, we did marriage counseling, but we also did parent counseling.
Okay.
And one of the things we learned is that there's from our person is that there's stages of parenting. And so for my daughter, we're entering, I forget them all, but there's like the part where you actually are like the rules, you know, like this is, and then the disciplinarian, and then you wrote, well, this last stage is partnering. So I now got to see what you do with what I gave you. So now her and I, we're shifting into I'm a partner. Do you think that's smart? Do you think you should, you have time to go do that and not do this? You know what I mean? It's more of the same way you would with your partner.
Right.
You don't tell your husband what to do. You kindly guide them by asking these questions. You know what I mean? That, well, you try to ease into it. Like,
you're supposed to be doing that.
You're supposed to be a partner, right? And so partnership looks thing. The other thing I'll throw into, because your group is mainly moms, is that we gotta let go of this idea I'm not supposed to be your friend.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad you brought that up. Get into it.
Like, can we talk about that? Because I'm really thinking, I'm not your friend. First off, I think we end up sending humans into the world who don't know how to do friendship. Because if we talk about the idea of what a friend is, trust, like if I were to say, what do you call a good friend? Loyalty. Yeah. Trust, communication, accountability, laughter. Well, I want those experiences to be with me. I didn't say we make it all the same. Intimacy. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about all the things, but I'm your first friend.
Yes. Yes.
Not just your rule, like your authoritarian. And then what's bad is, this is a whole nother podcast, but what's bad is then we send these people into the world and they don't know how to handle a boss. Because all they knew is authority. And so now they get to a job and they're treating the boss like a parent because they're fearful. And so now, and I'm like, you don't have to take that.
Right.
Most of us took what we took from an authority at a job because of what we learned about authority in our house.
Absolutely. And we look at authority in that way because how our parents.
You don't ask questions. You don't talk back. And I'm like, no, I can teach you the boundaries of honoring my position without having to exert some kind of power over you.
Yeah.
So I just believe let's start being our kids' friends.
That's good. I only have two more questions, but I just want
there. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it.
I just want to keep talking to you. Okay. What's something you had to unlearn, since you've been, you know, since you've learned all of this knowledge about emotional intelligence, what's something that you feel like you had to unlearn from maybe your childhood or just who you naturally are?
oh, one of the things I'm learning now, that everything, it doesn't have to be a battle. And so I mentioned it earlier about some things are not right or wrong. Or I mentioned just honoring the difference. Mm-hmm. I'm learning more and more with age, with what I do, because I talk to executives day in and day out, because with my work, the company hires me to then do one-on-one career coaching. Mm-hmm. And then with my kids, like, it doesn't have to be my way is right or wrong. It's just my way is different. Mm-hmm. And so just really being able, I had to unlearn that there were right and wrong ways to almost everything. Mm-hmm. There are some things that you just, it just ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
But your approach and my approach might just be different. Mm-hmm. And so I always give that space now to see, where do we differ? Mm-hmm. And in that, it means that I don't have to necessarily agree with you. I just need to understand you. Mm. So understanding is, to me, oh God, it would just change so much. If I could just understand your perspective, yeah, understand why you did it that way. Like, if I could just understand some of the stuff my husband does, I don't have to agree. Yeah. I'm like, 'cause in my mind, I'm like, that's dumb. But I'm like, oh, he said he did it this way because of, so just looking for more understanding over, yeah, agreement, but mm-hmm, allowing that it's not necessarily right or wrong. It's just different.
Good. Any final words of advice for moms who are just taking this journey and trying to just do better and implement emotional intelligence as they do motherhood, as they do relationships, as they navigate the world?
This is off the path, but on the path, because there's a part of emotional intelligence in the model that I teach that's about, it's called, gosh, I'm losing its word, self-actualization.
Okay.
And it really means to know where you need to grow and develop. I would just say, like, just know that you can't kill a plant by overwatering. Mm. So trying to become better all the time, always, doesn't allow for the season. So my advice is, like, let's just slow down and see, like, give yourself an exam. Like, how good did you do with the last podcast, mm-hmm, and the notes you took? You know what I mean? Like, or right, did you just move to the, you know, yeah, you go to church and you take the church notes and you never look at them. Like, and so you can kill a plant by overwatering, yes, is my thing. Yeah, you can kill a plant by overwatering, by just doing too much. Like, start to get comfortable with what you already know and move according to that part.
Mic drop.
Oh, that makes sense. Does that
make sense? Okay. Please don't take my lack of, I literally have never been so speechless. You are like, psh, psh, psh.
And you got to give that to your family too. You got to quit trying to make, I heard somebody say recently, they were like, you know, it's funny because women, we want our husbands, our partners, especially if it's, you know, heterosexual relationships, we want our partners to change and grow, mm-hmm, and evolve. And men are like, I just wish you would stay the same. Where are you? Who is the person I married?
When I met you, you used to.
And so it's just something to it that it's women who are usually constantly on this grind to get better. When men are like,
uh-huh, I'm good.
Which is how I know you can't just say all men are stupid. I mean, we can, but I don't know if that's fair. Right. So, I mean, it might, you know, okay, we don't know if it's fair. But we won't go down that track. It's something about women that we always want to just do more and be better and,
yeah,
join another, you know, conference. And I think conferences are great, but it's like, what did you do with the last dose of motivation? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, that's like the good dopamine of growth. And so, yeah, that's, yeah, what I was.
But I think it goes back to the conversation we had earlier, where it's like keeping a blind eye to what everybody else has to say, because I think there's a part of that that's in us because it's what's expected of us by society, because we always have to, well, you're smarter, so you should, you know, we're smarter, yes, than men, so we should, and you're the mom, so you should know the schedule and all the doctor information, and, you know, like, I should be able to call you for all of the, you should have recipes on hand and know what, girl, to get at the grocery store. And
well, fun fact, my kids can count how many times I've cooked for them on both of their hands. I don't cook, uh-huh, and I'm fine with it, and I don't feel shame about it. Don't ask me their birthdays. on the spot because I'm not going to remember to tell you.
Hesitation, a little hesitation.
I'm like, wait, 2000? Oh, God. So if we got married in 05, okay, hers is 06. And then he's 2.5 years, but because his birthday's January, it feels 3 years. 2009. Like, I have to do the riddle every single time, but just removing the shame of not having to be all things.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, again, it's just, and I mean, I might not be for everybody because I know most people are like, I just want to evolve forever. And I'm like, hell, some of y'all are just looking like Tasmanian devils.
Literally.
Sit me down somewhere. Sit me down somewhere.
Take the pressure off, sis. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm about to watch my raggedy recordings and I'm going to be okay.
It's okay. No, it's okay. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for having me. Can I plug in one project that I'm doing that means a lot?
That's my next thing is where can we find you? How can we support you? Tell us all the things, please.
So because I've been doing corporate work for the longest, right? Even before emotional intelligence became my jam solely, I still work. The reason you guys get these lazy green squares on social media, Instagram in particular, at Tico Najon, is because I've not had anything for the consumer face inside with emotional intelligence until now. And so now we have what's called 58%.org. Mm-hmm. And it's 58%.org. We're planning the launch probably. I'm having surgery in May. So in August, it will be fully launched. But the goal is to teach 100,000 people emotional intelligence for free. This will be a platform where you can access the masterclass, the event for free. We're not trying to charge, we're going to charge the companies to pay for it. But the goal is to teach this to 100,000 humans. Amazing. And so it will be a masterclass that you can download. And then you'll get to join us in some of the live lectures. But if people are really interested in understanding their success through the lens of emotional intelligence, this is your place. I think a part of wellness should be free.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm trying to do my part to add to the bucket of free. There's no gimmicks like free to pay for subscription. No, everything will be free. And awesome. So, yeah, 58%.org is where I'm excited to have everybody join.
I'm excited for you to do that because as we started off talking about, this is what we need. We need more people digging into emotional intelligence and tapping into and being more mindful of whatever.
Just being mindful. Yep. Of your humanity, other people's humanity, like everybody else's humanity, just really being mindful. And so it's my goal to, I'm at a place now where I just want to cause a greater impact without it being a burden financially to the people. And we sell everything, you know what I mean? Like, we sell everything and I'm not mad at that, but I do believe there's a portion of wellness and mental health that just should be free. And so
absolutely,
that's my goal.
Well, thank you for your service. Thank you for your time. I could easily take my computer downstairs and curl up on the couch and just like,
okay, it's just a little girl. But we might have to do a part two one of these days.
I'm gonna go back and listen to this because I feel like we had a lot of caveats that
Absolutely. I'm throwing this out there publicly that maybe we'll do a frequently asked question, like a Q&A with some of your audience, and maybe because that's just the jam I love to answer questions. Yes. So maybe we'll do like a live something.
Yes.
Where the audience could just
don't tease me now. And then you go back to Homer Simpson. Then you Homer Simpson into the bushes on me, and I don't hear from you now. I will find you.
I told you my cousin, and we just don't have to do the whole 23andMe.
We don't need it. We don't need it.
We don't need it. It's like 24 and more. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. All right. Listen, you don't open the doors. I'm gonna kick it down now. That's it.
I think we should.
No, maybe we'd love to do that.
Before school starts for like the moms. Like we could really do something really fun because I just think it's necessary.
And it
like
is. I said, it really is.
I told you I was teaching for free when I was teaching them dolls. So I'm just ready to move into that space of where I just show up and, you know, God has been
great with
my business wise. So I just want to show up.
No, I would love to do that. Once we get the episode out, I'll take some questions and then we'll have some stuff ready and we'll connect.
Then we are good. You are a good time. Thank you so much.
You are the best. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in for another episode of Mommy on the Move. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Mommy on the Move. Click the link in the show notes to get on my email list so you don't miss a thing and get first access to all things Mommy on the Move. Your support truly means the world to me. Another way you can help me grow is by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, rating me on Spotify, or sharing with a friend. See y'all next time, because life doesn't come with a manual, it comes with a mom.